if you will, this morning. Romans chapter 8. I try to always get all the rest of the scripture in the notes, but most of the time, and especially this time, I did not have time to put the Romans 8 in there. I'm just going to be honest with you. I want you to bring your Bibles. I want you to bring your Bibles, and I want you to use your Bibles. And so, but there was no way I could get it in. There's so much other stuff in there today, it's unreal. But what we're going to talk about today is something you're going to need at some point in your life. I have a special friend, Andrea and I do. It's a couple. They live in Missouri. He's a retired doctor. And, you know, when I moved, speaking of allergies, when I moved to Missouri, I got real sick for a solid month. I missed the first week of work. And you want to talk about feeling bad just for missing the first week of work. But a realtor decided, instead of putting Andrea and I in the condo that I wanted, he decided to do us a favor and put us in this huge home that was massive amounts of cedar and black mold in it. And this doctor came over to my house. He was a member of the church, came over to my house and walked around, and he goes, "Irvin, there's no wonder you can't get well. We got to get you out of here, man." I didn't even know what black mold looked like back then. And he was like, "We got to get you out of here." So I spent a month in this dude's house, my wife and my two children, we didn't have Ryan yet, trying to get healthy again. And so we have this amazing bond with this couple, this amazing fellowship with this couple. And so when we went to Becky to see Becky in Fayetteville about a month ago, we're only 2 hours from there, from this town where I used to be on staff at this church. And so we have a lot of precious friends there. And we said, "Well, let's just drive up there, spend a couple nights with Bill and Norma, see how everybody's doing." And we did that. And Bill has a son named Paul. And about 3 years ago, Paul bought the Dream Ranch east of Branson. I mean, with the mountains and the mountain lion, the bucks, the turkeys, with the streams that are so clear and the big tanks, all that kind of stuff. And so I've been out there a bunch, driving a skid steer or shooting guns with those guys or whatever, you know, guys do, fix tractors. We've done all that stuff out there. And so Bill and I go out there every time I go back to Missouri and help Paul work on his ranch. It's building fence, I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff, clearing land, all kinds of crazy stuff. And I love that stuff because I don't ever get to do it. And so I know some of you are going, "Yeah, that sounds like a real blessing." But anyway, I like it because I don't ever get to do it. And so it's a lot of fun for me. And when I went back, I asked Bill, I said, "So how's Paul? How's the ranch? All this kind of stuff." And he said, "Well, Paul just got back to Texas, just left here not too long ago because he was driving into Forsyth. And when he came around a corner, a teenager came around the corner too fast in his truck, hit him head on. The boy driving survived. The girl in the truck died. And a little boy was injured but survived. And when they hit Paul head on, it sent him over a cliff, which he hit a tree, and so it was like two head-on collisions. His neck is broken three places, his back, and they're trying to figure out, do we operate on his brain first, because that's not working right, or do we try to operate on his neck, or do we operate on his back?" So Bill was telling me about how Paul had to spend 3 weeks just in their recliner in the den. He couldn't go home. And he just literally spent 3 weeks in their recliner. And, you know, here's this guy that has saved all this money. He's been responsible. He saved all this money. He's bought this dream ranch. He wanted to get back up there around Mom and Dad to help take care of them. And now, what's he going to do? you know, he may never enjoy that place again. We don't know. But what was amazing to me and what I just watched was how Bill and Norma handled this in a Christ-like way. Because if you're not a parent, you don't get this. But if you're a parent, you get it. Watching your child suffer is brutal. I can't think of anything else more brutal. And I haven't gone through anything crazy with my children. I went through something that I won't get into that you guys wouldn't understand unless so I won't get in, but we went through something with Jake when he was a little boy. It's brutal. And Jake would come to me. I think he was in second grade. And he would say, "Daddy, I just want to die. I just want to die. I don't want to go through this anymore." But watching the way that Bill and Norma have laid their son at the feet of Christ and watching just their Christ-like attitude and even their joy that nothing can take, even their peace, that passes all understanding, and nothing can take from you if you are in Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Beginning with Romans 8, verse 16, we're going to talk about 17 and 18, but I'm going to read 16 just for context. We talked about that last week. The Bible says the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now, a better translation for the beginning of verse 17 is found in the New Living Translation. So a better reading would be this: not "and if," but "and since we are His children, heirs also." In other words, because we are sons of God, we talked about that last week, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are sons of God, and God the Father, the Bible says in Colossians 1 there on your notes, well, I don't know if that one made it in there or not, but anyway, has qualified us, since we've put our faith in Jesus Christ and become sons of God or children of God, God the Father then has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And so not only are we heirs of God, but we are fellow heirs with Christ. And the word "since" here again in the middle of verse 17 is a better rendering than the word "if." Fellow heirs with Christ, since indeed we suffer with Him, so that we will also be glorified with Him. In other words, since we suffer with Christ, we will also be glorified with Christ. Okay? And so what's important to understand here is that the Bible clearly says if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you will suffer with Christ and you will suffer for Christ. In fact, one of the ways that you can know that you're a believer is that you suffer for Christ. That's one of the ways you can know. There are going to be people that are going to dislike you. There are going to be people that are going to hate you. There's going to be people that are going to go around Heiko and talk bad about you if you're truly following Jesus Christ. Mark it down, it will happen. One of the coolest things that I've ever heard my son Jake say is when we were baptizing Hunter and Carson in this 50-degree lake in Alaska, and Jake held up the Bible and he said, "People are going to say stuff about you. And they're going to say bad things about you, but don't ever let that keep you from living for Jesus Christ." And there couldn't have been a prouder dad on the planet. Because I was like, amen. Amen, my son. Thank you for encouraging those boys in that, because it is the truth. This mentality that because you're a Christian, everything ought to go your way, is there's you do not find that in Scripture anywhere. It's not in there. The Bible clearly says, if you're a believer, you will suffer with Christ and you will suffer for Christ. So since we are fellow heirs with Christ, and since we suffer with Christ, the Bible also says, listen to this, we will also share, get this, listen to this closely, in everything that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, inherits in the kingdom of God. Amen? I mean, how can it get any better than that? If you read the Bible and read about what He inherits and that you inherit those same things, it's absolutely amazing. In fact, Paul rejoiced with the believers in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1, 3. I think I did put that in your notes. He says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And so also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. Amen. And so what is Paul's point in all this? His point, and your point number one in your notes, is this. Everything Christ receives because of His divinity, you will receive because of His grace if you're following Him. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, everything that Christ receives because He deserves it, you will receive because of His grace. So everything Christ receives because of His divinity, you will receive because of His grace. And we know that we will suffer with Him on this earth. Jesus Christ Himself made that very clear in the Gospels. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that for our sakes, Christ was shamed, He was despised, He endured torture and death on the cross. And the Scripture clearly teaches that if we are to share in His glory, we will also share in His suffering. But look at verse 18. Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time..." Now you got to remember where Paul's been. This dude has been through it all. He's been imprisoned. He's been shipwrecked three times. I mean, this guy's been through stuff that you and I can't even fathom. And he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us." And so Paul is saying, listen, we're all going to suffer, but the path to perseverance, which is what we're all looking for, amen, we're all looking to get through these times in this life that can be so hard, the path to perseverance is keeping yourself looking ahead. And so Paul is telling us the secret to enduring hardship is to keep looking ahead to the glory that awaits us for eternity in heaven. And so how do we do that? I mean, that all sounds great, but how do you pull that off? I mean, that's extremely easy to say, but extremely difficult to do when times are brutal, amen? In fact, many allow themselves to become completely consumed by their problems. And so how do we stay ahead of that? How do we actually make that happen? Which is point number two this morning in your notes. Our problems, this is important to understand, our problems don't always produce the purposes that God has planned for our lives. Our problems do not always produce the purposes that God has planned for our lives. This is not automatic. We have to learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We have to learn to seek the Lord and cooperate with God if we want all of our problems to be used for our good and for His glory. Now, what I'm about to share with you, and I've changed up all the wording, but I want to tell you this so you can go back and study this. What I'm about to share with you, a lot of it comes from Rick Warren's book, What on Earth Am I Here For? I couldn't pass this up because I know a lot of you have not read that book. And the chapter entitled, You Were Created to Become Like Christ, Transformed by Trouble, which I believe is day 25, if I remember right. I want to really encourage you, take what you get from today, go back and read day 25. Buy the book, What on Earth Am I Here For? By Rick Warren, and read day 25, Transformed by Trouble. Go back and study it and learn this stuff the best that you can. Learn what God's purpose is for your pain, and it'll make a difference when you begin to have major problems in your life. Now, the Bible says, Paul says in Romans 8, 28 and 29, and right here, we're going to see a promise from God, and anytime you see a promise from God, you always see a premise. Anytime you see a promise from God, you see a condition, okay? So we're going to see a promise from God. We're going to see two premises, and we're going to see God's purpose for your life in these two verses, Romans 8, 28, and 29. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. There's the promise. God causes all things. Now, what does all things include? Everything. Amen. God causes all things, circle that, to work together for good. Underline that phrase, God causes all things to work together for good. That's the promise. Now, there's two premises. The first one is this, to those who love God. To those who truly love God. How do you know you love God? The book of 1 John, read it, you obey God. You follow God. You live for His glory. You live for His will, not your own. That's how you know you love God. So the promise is that God, for the believer, for the follower of Jesus Christ, God causes all things to work together for good. And the premise number one, is to those who love God. Premise number two, those who are called according to His purpose. Are you living for God's purpose? When people look at you, when people watch you, can they say to themselves, I'm identifying somebody that it's obvious to me that that man is living for God's purpose. It's obvious to me that that woman is living for God's purpose. You see, those are the premises that go with the promise. Do you really love God, and are you living according to His purpose? If you are, the promise is He will take everything in your life, work it together for your good and for His glory, which is to make you like His Son, Jesus Christ. Look at the purpose. Verse 29 is the purpose. You've got the promise, you've got premise number one, premise number two, and 29 is the purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be, Jesus Christ would be the firstborn among many brethren. And so the Bible clearly teaches that God's purpose for your life and for my life is for us to become like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yet this does not automatically happen every time you suffer. And so how can we make sure we're cooperating with God's purpose for our pain? Because we're all going to go through it, and so we might as well grow from it so we don't have to go through it again. Amen? So how can we make sure We're following the Lord and we're cooperating with God's purpose for our pain so that we can grow up and become like Jesus Christ? There's three things I want to mention to you this morning. Three things to remember when suffering. If you want God to use your pain for your good and for His glory, remember, number three in your notes, God will never give you more than He will enable you to endure. Man, when you're drowning in it, and you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to get through another day. You got to remember this. God will never give you more then His grace will enable you to endure. Look at what Paul says about himself in 2 Corinthians 12. This is an interesting statement. To keep me from exalting myself, Paul says. And dude, he could exalt himself. We're talking about one of the wisest men, a man that has personally been given revelations from Christ Himself. This dude could be, if anybody could be proud of something, it could be Paul. But look at what he says. To keep me from exalting myself. Don't miss that. There's a whole lot in the Bible about you and I exalting ourselves. And you and I being given into pride and the things that we do in pride. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And he says it again, to keep me from exalting myself, to keep me from promoting myself, God has allowed me to suffer. Now concerning this, I implored to the Lord three times that it would leave me. I prayed to God three times that it would leave me, and God replied to me and said, my grace is sufficient for you. And don't miss this. He says, my grace is sufficient to you, for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness. Now, we hate weakness, don't we? We hate weakness in the United States of America, especially if you're a man and somebody thinks you're weak. We hate it. We despise it. But that's where the glory of God is seen in your life. Sir, God's glory is not going to be seen in your strengths. He's not going to be seen in your John Wayne attitude. It's not going to be seen in your holster. You're not going to see the glory of God in those things. God's glory is going to be seen in your weakness, and as hard as that is to swallow, because it goes against everything in this Texas culture that we live in, that's the truth. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness. And listen to Paul. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Here's what I don't want you to miss. God loved Paul enough to keep him from getting sucked into the pride of life, which destroys us. Pride always goes before a fall. God loved Paul enough to keep him from getting sucked into the pride of life where he would exalt himself and he would promote himself. As believers in Jesus Christ, who do we promote? Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. As believers and followers, bond servants of Jesus Christ, who do we exalt? Jesus Christ. Where would I be without Jesus Christ? Nowhere. Nowhere. I couldn't do anything that I do without being in Christ. Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, you might be able to do some things that this world's going to clap for. Good job, buddy. You did a great job, man. You're the best at what you do. But apart from Christ, it means nothing in eternity. You won't take it with you, and it won't mean anything in eternity. And so the Bible teaches that God's grace is sufficient for you and I, whatever we go through. And the Bible teaches that God will allow us, He loves us enough to let us suffer so that we don't get sucked into this pride of life where we spend all of our time exalting ourselves and promoting ourselves. And so you can rest in the fact that God knows what's best for you. When you're going through difficult times, you can rest in the fact that God knows what's best for you, and His grace will carry you through those difficult times. In fact, He reminded the prophet Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Now, your circumstances may seem like calamity at the time, but if you learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, He will use it for your welfare, to give you a future and a hope. That is a promise that you can bank on. If you love God and you're living for His purposes, He'll take everything that comes into your life and use it to mold you into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Joseph also trusted his future to the Lord. I can't imagine going through what he went through. Joseph also trusted his future to the Lord after his brother sold him into slavery. They actually left him for dead, came back, found out the dude was still alive, and sold him into slavery. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, when he sees his brothers again many years later, now get this, don't let this just go in one ear and out the other. Listen to what he says to them. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. Listen to what he says to his brothers. Do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. I will provide for you and your family. And so he comforted them and he spoke kindly to them. And Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery as a young man because they were jealous of him. But God eventually, listen to this, God eventually, after a good amount of suffering, raised him up to leadership in Egypt so that God could use him to save the entire, not only his family, but the entire nation of Israel from starvation during a 7-year famine. But why all the suffering? When you study the story of Joseph, you see a young man constantly promoting himself. When you study the story of Joseph, you see a young man constantly exalting himself. And so God allowed him to suffer and go through some unthinkable things. But Joseph did something amazing. He kept seeking God. He kept seeking God, and God raised him up and used him in a way that was just absolutely amazing to save the nation of Israel. Now you may be thinking to yourself, wow, how could I learn to let God use me like that? And I'm glad you asked, because your question is answered in number 4. Like Joseph, you must refuse to get bitter and stay focused on God's purpose. Like Joseph, you must refuse to get bitter and stay focused on God's purpose. That was the key to Joseph's success. That's why God used him in such a powerful way. You see, this is where many people get locked down in their growth, because they become bitter instead of better. They allow the trials and the hard stuff they come through, and they allow this hate and this anger to linger and stay in their minds. And if it stays in your mind, I don't care what it is, by the way, if it stays in your mind long enough, it will take root in your heart. And it'll start growing. And like a cancer, it will begin to tear you apart, and it'll begin to tear apart every relationship you have. Joseph did not allow that to happen. Sometimes we focus so much on our pain that it consumes us. And the end result is a heart full of bitterness, which, by the way, simultaneously destroys any chance of you becoming more like Jesus Christ. It simultaneously destroys any chance that you have of growing up. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, it gives Satan a foothold in your life. But to become like Christ is to become all that you can be in this life. To become like your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is when you finally reach your full potential in this life. And so the bottom line is, the only way to keep your pain and your problems from consuming you and eventually destroying you is to stay focused on God's purpose for your life, which is to use all that bad for your good, for your growth, and for His glory, so that you will become more like His Son, Jesus Christ, and reach your full potential in this life. And so the Bible says in Hebrews 12, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Consider Jesus Christ, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. How do you know you've lost heart? When your heart is bitter. When your heart is resentful. When you still don't like to see some people succeed. When you still don't like to hear some person's name mentioned. Your heart is bitter. Now I'm going to share something with you from Corrie Ten Boom. She's a lady that survived a Nazi concentration camp. Now, how do you do that? I mean, I've been through the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, and as I walked through this thing, that I was like, okay, I got it in the first 10 minutes. 2 hours later, I'm still in it. How do you survive that mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally? How do you survive what I saw? How do you survive the torture of a Nazi death camp? Listen to how she explains her focus. In fact, I sent this to Jake after he and his friends were locked down on Texas Tech campus last week while a gunman was on the loose. And when it was over, he and his friends were trying to somehow make sense of what had just happened, and they're trying to make sense of this world they live in. This is what she says. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. I think I put this in your notes. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you can be at rest. If you focus on this world that's around you, you're going to be distressed. And if you look within and you try to figure out who you are and what you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be about by just looking within, you're going to get depressed because you're not going to find any answers. You did not create you. You need to go to the owner's manual, right? If you're going to find out why you were created and how you're supposed to be used, you got to go to the owner's manual because you didn't create you. And you'll never find that out looking within. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. Corrie Ten Boom, in this Nazi concentration camp, I mean, I can't even imagine that. I mean, it's so brutal when you see what I've seen. It's so brutal. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look to Christ, you'll be at rest. That was her secret. And so remember, everything Christ receives because of his divinity, you will receive because of his grace. And so remember to keep looking forward to the future that is yours in Jesus Christ. And remember that problems are not automatically producing the purposes of God in your life. That promise that God will use all the bad for your good and for his glory is reserved for those who love him and are living for his purposes. So learn to cooperate with God. And listen, don't miss this. Hear me on this. Learn to ask God to show you how you can grow from your pain and your problems. Learn to ask God, God, how can I grow and become more like Christ through this? And stop asking why. And start asking how. Lord, how can I grow through this? How can I become more like my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through this hardship? And remember, God will never give you more than He will, by His grace, enable you to endure. And so here's a key. At some point in your life, you have to make this decision. At some point in your life, you got to make this decision. And when you do, it's life altering. At some point in your life, you got to say, you know what? I'm going to start taking God at His word. I'm just going to take God at His word and continue to move forward in faith, trusting that His power is made perfect even in my weakness. And number four, read Ephesians 4 on this. Refuse to get bitter. Refuse to get bitter and stay focused on God's purpose. That was Joseph's secret. Rick Warren says in his book, don't give in to short-term thinking. Stay focused on the end result. And remember that your pain is temporary, but your reward is eternal. And last but not least this morning, remember to be thankful in all circumstances. Remember to be thankful in all circumstances. Now notice it does not say be thankful for all circumstances. The Bible says be thankful in all circumstances. In fact, Paul said to the Christians in Thessalonica, he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But how do you do that? Sometimes life is so hard. Sometimes life is so difficult. How can I possibly give thanks in all circumstances? Because you know that God will use all your problems for His good, for your good and for your growth and for His glory. And so the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4:4. And again, notice the Bible doesn't say rejoice in all your problems and in all your pain, but it does say rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Who is bigger than all your circumstances, the Bible says, and has an amazing plan for your life that extends way beyond, listen to this, that extends way beyond this little dress rehearsal on planet Earth. That extends into eternity. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 6:23, rejoice in that day and leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. And so you can rejoice because of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, you have a great reward awaiting you in heaven. You can rejoice because through Christ, the Bible says, you're an overcomer and a conqueror in all these things that rise up against you. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, you are from God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. And the Bible says in Romans 8:37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And so the bottom line, Paul says in Romans 8:38 and 39, is I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? And I love what Rick Warren says in his book. He says, listen, and I think I put this in your notes. This is amazing. And all of us need to know this right here. We can rejoice in knowing that God is going through the pain with us. We do not serve a distant and detached God who spouts encouraging cliches safely from the sideline. Instead, He enters into our suffering. Jesus did it in the incarnation, and His Spirit does it in us now. God will never leave us on our own. The bottom line is, when you grasp the eternal consequences of your character development, which is to become like Christ, you'll pray fewer comfort me prayers and more conform me prayers. So when life gets difficult, the Bible says, listen, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. You need to stick it out, staying with God's plan, so that you will be there for the promised completion. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. And we thank You for Your Word. And we thank You that You're a God that loves us way beyond what we could ever imagine or dream of. You're a God that never leaves us. You're a God that loves us enough to let us sometimes suffer to help us grow up, to help us be in the middle of Your will and not go off on some crazy adventure somewhere else that could destroy us. And so, Father, help us to remember that our sufferings on this earth pair and are pale in comparison to our eternal rewards in heaven. Help us to remember that everything Christ receives because He is God, we receive because we are God's children. Lord, help us to recognize that our problems won't automatically lead to our growth unless we learn to cooperate with Your Holy Spirit and continue to live for Your purpose for our lives. And so, Lord, today, maybe you just want to pray this in your heart. Teach me to stay focused on the future growth and reward that you have for me. And Lord, teach me to get better instead of becoming bitter. Because I understand and I know that bitterness is just going to destroy me. It's just going to destroy me and the people around me. And help me to remember that you'll never give me more than I can handle. Your grace is sufficient for me. And you will enable me to endure anything that comes into my life if I'll stay focused on loving you and living for your purpose and your glory. And finally, Lord, teach me to be thankful. Teach me to be thankful in all circumstances, to give you glory in everything, knowing that in Christ I'm an overcomer. Knowing that in Christ Jesus I'm more than a conqueror. That anything that comes into my life. Lord, I thank you for loving me in that way. And I pray, Lord, that your perfect will would be done in my life. And help me to learn these things. Maybe right now everything's rosy. But help me to learn these things because I'm going to need them later and somebody I love is going to need them later. And so teach me what it means to suffer in Jesus Christ and for the glory of Jesus Christ. And all these things we pray in.